Statistical rigor in robot policy evaluation, why your success rate comparisons might be wrong. The reproducibility crisis, hiding in your robot lab. Picture this scenario that plays out in robotics labs worldwide every day. You've spent months developing a new manipulation policy for your robot arm. You're convinced it's better than your baseline. You run both policies 50 times each in your lab. And lo and behold, your new policy succeeds on 29 trials, while the baseline only succeeds on 25. Victory, right? Time to write that paper, claiming a significant improvement. Not so fast. What you've just witnessed might be nothing more than statistical noise masquerading as genuine progress. This is the central challenge that Haruki Nishimura and Masha Itkina from Toyota Research Institute tackle in their recent work on statistical thinking for robot policy evaluation. Their paper addresses a fundamental question that should keep every robotics researcher awake at night. When we compare robot policies, how do we know the difference we observe is real? This isn't just an academic concern. In an era where robot policies are becoming increasingly sophisticated and stochastic, where single experiments can cost thousands of dollars in human time and robot wear, where reproducibility in robotics is already challenging, getting evaluation wrong can waste enormous resources and lead the field down the wrong paths. The stakes have never been higher, and yet, surprisingly, few robotics papers apply rigorous statistical methods to their comparisons. Why robot evaluation is fundamentally different. Before diving into solutions, we need to understand what makes robot policy evaluation uniquely challenging compared to other machine learning domains. In computer vision or natural language processing, you can evaluate your model on thousands or millions of test examples relatively quickly and cheaply. Sure, there's still statistical variation, but the law of large numbers quickly overwhelms the noise. Robotics operates in a fundamentally different regime. Each policy rollout requires careful scene preparation, manual resets, and often human supervision for safety. A single manipulation experiment might take several minutes to set up and execute. Even in simulation, the computational cost of physics simulation means you're often limited to hundreds rather than thousands of trials. This creates what I like to call the small sample, high noise problem. Your robot operates in the physical world, where tiny variations in initial conditions, contact dynamics, and environmental factors introduce substantial stochasticity. Even if your policy is completely deterministic, the outcomes will vary due to the inherent unpredictability of physical interactions. Modern robot policies compound this challenge by being intentionally stochastic. Diffusion-based policies, flow-matching models, and other generative approaches introduce randomness by design. This is often beneficial for robustness and exploration, but it means that even identical starting conditions can lead to different outcomes. The result is a perfect storm for statistical misinterpretation. Small sample sizes combined with high variance create exactly the conditions where our intuitive understanding of better performance can lead us astray. A policy that succeeds 58% of the time versus 50% might genuinely be better, or it might just be lucky. The fundamentals of statistical comparison. Let's build our intuition from first principles. When we run policy A and policy B multiple times and observe different success rates, we're not actually measuring the true performance of these policies directly. Instead, we're collecting noisy samples from unknown probability distributions. Think of it this way. Each policy has some true unknown success probability. Policy A might have a true success rate of 60%, but when we run it 50 times, we might observe anywhere from 30 to 40 successes due to random variation. This observed success rate is just an estimate of the underlying truth, and it comes with uncertainty. The key insight is that we need to distinguish between two types of variation. First, there's the variation we'd expect to see even if two policies were identical, simply due to the randomness inherent in the evaluation process. Second, there's the variation that indicates a genuine difference in policy performance. Statistical testing helps us separate these two sources of variation. Barnard's exact test, which the paper highlights as a fundamental tool, approaches this problem by asking a specific question. If these two policies were actually identical in their true performance, how likely would we be to observe a difference as large or larger than what we actually saw? If that probability is very low, say less than 5%, then we conclude that the policies are genuinely different. This framework immediately reveals why informal comparisons can be so misleading. When you see one policy succeed 29 times and another succeed 25 times out of 50 trials, your brain wants to conclude that the first is better. But Barnard's test might tell you that even if these policies were identical, you'd see a difference this large or larger about 20% of the time. That's far too likely to declare a meaningful difference. The sequential revolution. The traditional approach to statistical testing requires you to decide in advance how many samples you'll collect, run the experiment to completion, and then analyze the results exactly once. This batch methodology has a crucial statistical property. It controls the false positive rate at your desired level, say 5%. But this rigidity creates a practical problem in robotics. Maybe you start with 50 rollouts per policy and find no significant difference. Your intuition says the new policy is probably better, and you'd like to collect more data. The natural temptation is to run another 20 rollouts per policy and test again. This seemingly innocent decision destroys your statistical guarantees. By testing multiple times and potentially stopping when you see a favorable result, you've engaged in what statisticians call data dredging, or p-hacking. The false positive rate, which you thought was controlled at 5%, might now be 15 or 20%. This is where STEP, the sequential testing method developed by the Toyota Research Institute team, becomes revolutionary. STEP allows you to collect data incrementally, testing after each new batch of rollouts, and stopping as soon as you reach a conclusion. Remarkably, it maintains rigorous false positive control while often requiring fewer total rollouts than batch methods. The mathematical foundations of sequential testing trace back to Abraham Wald's work during World War II on quality control for manufactured goods. The key insight is that by carefully adjusting the decision thresholds after each interim analysis, you can account for the increased opportunity to find spurious differences. STEP implements this approach specifically for robot policy comparison. After each batch of rollouts, it computes updated test statistics and compares them against specially calibrated thresholds. These thresholds are set higher than in batch testing to compensate for the multiple testing opportunities, but they decrease over time as more evidence accumulates. The practical power of sequential methods. What makes sequential testing particularly appealing for robotics is its efficiency. In many scenarios, STEP reaches the same statistical conclusions as batch testing, but with substantially fewer rollouts. This happens because sequential methods can stop early when the evidence becomes overwhelming, either in favor of one policy or indicating that they're too similar to distinguish. Consider a scenario where one policy is genuinely much better than another. A batch test might require 100 rollouts per policy to detect this difference reliably. But a sequential test might reach the same conclusion after just 30 or 40 rollouts per policy, saving hours of precious robot time. This efficiency gain isn't uniform, though. When policies are very similar in performance, sequential testing might require as many samples as batch testing. The worst-case scenario for any statistical test is when you're trying to distinguish between policies that are genuinely almost identical. In these cases, large sample sizes are unavoidable, regardless of your methodology. The Toyota Research Institute team demonstrated STEP's effectiveness across a range of scenarios relevant to robot learning. They showed that it maintains the promised false positive rates while achieving high statistical power, meaning that it successfully detects real differences when they exist. Beyond pairwise comparisons, real robotics research rarely involves comparing just two policies. More often, you're evaluating multiple variants of your approach, comparing against several baselines, or conducting ablation studies with many different configurations. This creates the multiple comparisons problem, where the probability of finding at least one spurious significant result grows with the number of tests performed. The paper addresses this through multiple comparison corrections, particularly the Bonferroni method. If you're performing 10 pairwise comparisons, and want to maintain a 5% overall false positive rate, each individual test should use a threshold of 0.5%. This mathematical adjustment ensures that your overall error rate remains controlled. However, multiple comparison corrections come with a cost: reduced statistical power. By requiring stronger evidence for each individual comparison, you make it harder to detect real differences. This creates a fundamental tension in experimental design between comprehensive evaluation and statistical power. The paper introduces compact letter display as an elegant solution for presenting multiple comparison results. This method assigns letters to each policy such that policies sharing no letters are statistically different, while those sharing letters are not significantly distinguishable. It provides a clear visual summary that avoids the confusion of presenting dozens of individual p-values. Visualization and interpretation challenges. One of the paper's most important contributions is highlighting how standard visualization approaches can mislead in the context of multiple comparisons. Confidence intervals, the traditional tool for showing uncertainty, become problematic when you're comparing many policies simultaneously. The issue is that overlapping confidence intervals don't necessarily mean policies aren't significantly different, and non-overlapping intervals don't guarantee significance. The relationship between confidence intervals and hypothesis tests becomes complicated in multiple comparison settings, leading to frequent misinterpretation. Instead, the authors advocate for Bayesian beta posterior violin plots. This approach models each policy's success rate as a beta distribution, which naturally captures the uncertainty arising from finite sample sizes. The resulting visualizations show the full posterior distribution over success rates, providing a much richer picture of what we know and don't know about each policy's performance. These violin plots, when combined with compact letter display annotations, provide an intuitive way to understand both the point estimates and the uncertainty around them. You can see not just which policies appear better, but how confident you should be in those rankings. Connections to broader statistical practice. The statistical methods discussed in this paper aren't unique to robotics. Similar challenges arise throughout machine learning and experimental science, wherever sample sizes are limited and outcomes are noisy. What's particularly valuable about this work is how it adapts well-established statistical principles to the specific constraints and needs of robot learning. The connection to A/B testing in web development and product optimization is particularly illuminating. Companies like Google and Facebook have been using sequential testing methods for years to evaluate changes to their platforms. They face similar challenges of wanting to make decisions quickly while maintaining statistical rigor. However, robotics adds several unique complications. The cost per sample is much higher, making sample efficiency crucial. The experimental conditions are harder to control, introducing additional sources of variation. And the consequences of false positives or negatives can be more severe, particularly when safety is involved. Alternative approaches and trade-offs. The paper also discusses probabilistic ranking methods, particularly the Bradley-Terry model, popular in large language model evaluation. These methods estimate latent skill parameters for each policy and can handle more complex comparison scenarios, like when some policies never directly compete against others. The trade-offs between statistical testing and probabilistic ranking highlight deeper philosophical questions about evaluation. Statistical testing provides rigorous error control and is designed for confirmatory analysis, where you have specific hypotheses to test. Probabilistic ranking is more exploratory, designed to provide approximate orderings when exact error control isn't paramount. For robotics applications, the choice often comes down to your experimental goals and constraints. If you're trying to definitively establish that a new method works better than existing approaches, perhaps for a paper submission, rigorous statistical testing is essential. If you're in early stage development and want to quickly triage many different approaches, probabilistic ranking might be more appropriate. Implementation considerations. Moving from theory to practice requires careful attention to experimental design details that can make or break your statistical analysis. The paper emphasizes several critical implementation considerations that are often overlooked in robotics research. First, success criteria must be defined completely before data collection begins. This seems obvious, but it's surprisingly easy to subtly adjust your definition of success when you see unexpected results. Any post hoc changes to evaluation criteria invalidate your statistical guarantees. Second, all policies should be evaluated under identical conditions. This means not just the same physical setup, but also the same distribution of initial conditions, the same randomization process, and the same environmental factors. Seemingly minor differences, like evaluating policies at different times of day when lighting conditions vary, can introduce confounding factors. Third, the order of policy evaluation should be randomized and ideally blinded to the evaluator. Human bias in scene setup or success labeling can systematically favor certain policies. Professional-grade experimental design requires the same precautions used in medical trials, the broader context of robot learning. This work arrives at a crucial time for the field of robot learning. As policies become more capable and complex, evaluation becomes both more important and more challenging. The success of large language models has highlighted the importance of rigorous evaluation methodology, with leaderboards and benchmarks playing central roles in driving progress. Robotics is beginning to see similar trends with the emergence of general-purpose manipulation policies and large-scale robot learning datasets. As we move toward more standardized evaluation protocols and shared benchmarks, statistical rigor becomes essential for making meaningful comparisons across different approaches and research groups. The paper's emphasis on transparency and reproducibility also connects to broader initiatives in machine learning around responsible AI development. When robot policies might eventually operate in safety-critical environments, the standards for evaluation must be correspondingly high. Future directions and open questions. While this work provides valuable tools for current evaluation practices, it also highlights several areas where further development would be beneficial. One limitation is the focus on binary success outcomes. Many robot tasks have more nuanced evaluation criteria where partial success or continuous performance metrics would be more appropriate. Extending these statistical methods to handle continuous outcomes, multidimensional performance metrics, and hierarchical task structures represents an important direction for future work. The fundamental principles of error control and sequential testing should apply, but the specific implementations would need to be developed. Another interesting direction is the integration of these methods with modern robot learning pipelines. As policies are trained using increasingly sophisticated objective functions and reward models, there's an opportunity to develop evaluation methods that better align with the training process. Practical recommendations. For robotics researchers looking to implement these ideas immediately, several practical recommendations emerge from this work. Start by clearly defining your evaluation protocol before collecting any data. Decide whether you need the full rigor of statistical testing or whether exploratory ranking methods would suffice. If you choose statistical testing, consider starting with sequential methods like STEP rather than traditional batch testing. The efficiency gains are substantial, and the implementation complexity is manageable. For multiple policy comparisons, plan your correction strategy in advance and consider using compact letter display for clear presentation. Most importantly, report your full experimental methodology, including sample sizes, randomization procedures, and statistical methods. The reproducibility crisis in robotics is partly due to insufficient reporting of evaluation details. By adopting these statistical standards, individual researchers can contribute to raising the bar for the entire field. The path forward requires balancing statistical rigor with practical constraints. Perfect statistical practice might be impossible given time and budget limitations, but substantial improvements over current norms are achievable with modest effort. The tools exist. What's needed now is the collective commitment to use them consistently. As robot learning continues to advance toward real-world deployment, evaluation methodology will only become more critical. The statistical thinking framework presented in this paper provides a solid foundation for building more trustworthy, reproducible, and scientifically grounded robot learning systems. The question isn't whether we can afford to implement these practices. but whether we can afford not to.